you know, all the time expecting victory. You know, I expected defeat before I got saved. I tried businesses and failed, and, you know, tried owning my own business and failed and wanted to do it, but just didn't have the, you know, the courage or the wisdom or the strength, because every time things would come up contrary, I'd just quit, you know. But I got born again, praise God, and you know what? Something comes on the inside of you. It's greater than you after you're born again. You might not feel supernatural all the time. You might not feel like victory's yours all the time. But that's why the Bible plainly teaches us we walk by faith and not by sight. And the way to have faith is that Bible says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. No matter what your body tells you or people around you or things happening, you believe that. That's how you walk by faith. You walk around saying, nope, bless God, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Talking to one of my brothers. He's up there, on up in age, and, you know, I know he don't know the things that I know Bible-wise, you know, and everything. And, you know, he said, well, you know, every time I want to get better, something worse happens. He said, my body's attacked. And so I go to tell him, I said, yeah, I understand. I said, that's why the Bible says that, you know, we walk by faith, not by how we feel, not by what our body. Now, that's hard when you're saying that to somebody that feels like there's nothing they can do about their situation. That's hard to hear that, you know, whenever, you know, just everything looks contrary to what you desire. But you know what? Faith comes by hearing. And so I told him, I said, I understand. When I went through surgery and, you know, and everything, I said, my body, my mind, the devil, the statistics, all of that was trying to tell me how the outcome of what I just went through is going to turn out. I said, but you know what? I said, I wouldn't listen to that. I said, I told my body, you don't belong, you're not me. You know, I own you, and you're not going to dictate. Why am I telling you that? Because I was expecting victory. In the middle of defeat, I would not succumb to what I felt like. I would not give in my mind. I would not give in my heart. You know, this is not the end result that I'm going to have. And I was telling him, I said, and you know what? My body had to recover. I told him, I said, I'm better shape right now than I've been in 10 years. And it ain't because of just the open heart surgery. I come out. Victory minded. I went in there determined to come out of there with victory. Actually laying on the table before pre-op, one of my brothers, you know, he looked down at me that really don't have a relationship with Jesus. He said, you know, I prayed for you. He said, maybe God heard me. That tells me you don't know him. You don't know. Boy, there's a big difference. If you know Jesus, and you pray and you know. He's a big boy, you got confidence in God then. And so I looked at him, you know, and because he was like, maybe he heard me, and he's like, because that's a dangerous man. They put you to sleep, you know, cut you open and all kind of stuff. I mean, you're dead. You know, when they do that, they've got a pump that's pumping your blood, keeping your body alive. You know what I'm saying? Your heart ain't pumping, they got it dead. And they are a chance you might not come out of something like that. Come on, somebody. So they're a little afraid, you know. And so I looked at him, started preaching. I said, well, bless God, I said, I'll see y'all at a while. I said, I know the Lord. I said, I done talked to him. I done told him, praise God, you know. I said, so I'm going in. I said, I'll see y'all in a little while. Bless God, I'm not through. I'm 50 years or 52 years old. I'm just getting started. 52 years old, I'm not. But what I'm saying, all I'm saying is, in that, I was expecting victory, although I was facing what I was fixing to face. And I would not let my mind go to defeat. I did sitting there one time, and I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm sitting on the bed, and all of a sudden, oppression tries to hit me like they said it would. I just start crying. You know, Teresa, oh, you know. I mean, that was bad for her. you know, when I'm sitting there, I don't know what's happening to me. And then I did that for a few minutes, and I realized that was oppression. I hadn't experienced that Mac in years. And I shook that thing off, let God just a few minutes, praise God, and I got my mind fixed back on the Lord, and all of that had to go. You know what? All I was doing was fixating my thoughts on what I was fixing to go through, and I might not be the man I used to be, and Teresa may leave me after that. I've seen it happen. See, Satan will tell you all kinds of things bad that's going to happen when you're facing things. And all he's trying to do is get your expectation off of God, off of the promises, off of the shield. People's told me, well, what if people come to your church and they get COVID? I said, nope, it has to die when it gets to the church. I said, COVID has to die. Everything that has a name has to bow at the name of Jesus. I said, and we're in his name. We're the body of Christ, hallelujah. And then people's told me, well, what if they do get it? I said, I won't entertain it. They're not going to get it. I'm not letting unbelief in. I just simply am not going to entertain fear at all. Let God, I wash my hands, I sanitize, I wear a mask, I'm not against none of that, but I am not going to give it the right to enter in and bring fruit to this church. I'm not going to let it enter in and bring fruit to my life. The Bible says in Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon that is formed against God's people will prosper. Well, now you got to take that, and that's not up to God. God's done said it. God's done finished it. God's done sealed it in the blood of Jesus. And so now we've got to fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12. What that does mean is we get aggressive against that, the COVID or the flu or nothing else, whatever it is, fear, unbelief, failure of any, you know, we can't be Christians not willing to go through the heat. We can't be Christians that are not willing to go through the battles and just quit every time something. We can't be those kind of folk. The Bible says that if we live godly in this life, we will suffer things. We will go through things. But the Bible says victory is ours. The Bible says he always causes us to triumph in Jesus. You know, and I remember, you know, and I was telling my brother, I'm trying to help my brother. I'm trying to help him, man. Come on, man. I know you're in pain. I know you're weak. I know you've told me, I understand that, but you got to get up. You got to get up, and I told him, I said, the Bible says that he gives his beloved sweet sleep, having trouble sleeping because he's in pain. Well, you know what it is not to get no sleep for day after day after day after day. And a month goes on, it can take a toll on you physically, mentally, spiritually. So I was telling him, I said, the Bible says, you know, he gives his beloved sweet sleep. I said, you need to find that scripture in the Bible, and you need to rehearse that laying in the bed. What is that doing? That's fighting the good fight against that. That's how you fight the good fight. I told him, I said, you got to, and you know, I mean, when you're telling somebody like that and they really don't have a deep concept of what you're saying, then it seems foolish. But how many knows the Bible says he used the foolish things of this world to confound wise? The Bible says the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. You know, I mean, he knows the deep things of God. Hallelujah. And me and you, we take the word of the whole tree the other day. I said, I've got to read the Bible more. Well, you know what that is, Mac? That's a hunger. I didn't stir that up. I mean, you know. I said, I've got to read the word more. I got to get on into why. I'm having a hunger to go on in deeper in God. Well, you know, we can get so deep to where sickness can go light on you and it goes poof, burns up. The anointing of God increases as we increase in him. Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus Christ, the anointed one in us. The more that he lives in me, the more that anointing will increase. The anointing of God, and Isaiah said, it is the burden-removing, yoke-breaking power of God. Hallelujah. And so this morning I got up, turned me on some preaching. I'm listening to a 30-minute sermon before I leave my house. I'm rehearsing the word before I leave my house. Lord, I'm going out, God, in your name. I'm in your name today. I'm kept by your power, God. Well, stirring those things up because the news, it's rampant. This is the second wave of COVID. Well, we waving, baby. Bye. See, but the church, Satan wants the body of Christ to believe that there's nothing we can do about this garbage. Not me. Mac, he's willing to go to jail with me now. He is. He means it. Me and him, we'll start a church in there, but God, lock us up. You want us out there, we'll clean house, but God, we'll go to fasting and praying and seeking God in there. Glory to God. Bring us some food. Lord, you'll bring us food. We ain't going to starve, Mac. Hallelujah. We're going to start praying and fasting. And you know, that's what Paul and Silas did when they got put in jail, but God, they didn't go, we're good Christians. The governor said, don't talk in his name. I can't believe it. No, man. They went in there and started singing praises to the Lord, praising God. Hallelujah. And the power of God fell in that place, black God, and turned people loose. The jail just opened up. Nobody wanted to leave. Power of God in that jail. Lock us up. Satan don't want to lock us up. Well, black God, he'd lock for me and you just to lay down and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Channel its own channels. They can't even tell the weather now without telling me about COVID. Boy, don't that just jerk your chain? I didn't turn it on. I wonder what degrees it is in the morning. But God, we done got COVID handled. But you know that's trying to feed us. Oh, COVID. Or poverty. Oh, poverty. Boy, if I don't get a raise, I'm going to lose my house. That's the same thing I'm talking about. It don't make no difference if it's COVID, your car, your truck. I have truck trouble all the time. I have one now. You know what I told the Lord? I said, thank you, Lord, for my trucks. I didn't say truck. I said trucks. If I'm going to believe him for one, might as well believe him for two. Come on, somebody. Just let one sit up there and look good. That's God's promise. I believe for two. I didn't need but one, but there's another one. But God don't tell me he ain't real. See, you got to have an expectation of victory. Victory. Raise is coming. I don't really need a raise. We're doing good. Good, bring it to me. I'll give it to somebody. You believe for a raise, we're going to believe with you. Then that dollar raise you get, just bring it over here now. You figure it up every week. Bring it to me, and I'm going to sow some seeds because I need millions. I don't need just a dollar at home. Look, God, I need chunks, man. You need chunks. Well, I'm satisfied where I'm at. Don't be satisfied where you at. The Bible says he'll increase you more and more, even your children. Well, what are we going to do? Stop. Doug told me the other day, he said, if you ain't paid in that Social Security, he said, you're going to have to live off $600. I looked at him and I said, I've been going against that for years. You've heard me say it. I'm not going to have to live off Social Security. I'm going to be so blessed, I'm going to buy me a cow once a month. With Social Security, I don't even need it. That's got to be your attitude, man. You got to plan for your future now and plant seeds in your heart now so that faith is coming out of your heart towards God, which is a big God. The Bible says the earth and everything in it belongs to him. The gold and silver's mine, says the Lord. Well, don't the Bible tell me and you that me and you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus? So everything that's God's is ours. I told my mom one time I read that in the Bible. Said everywhere your feet trod, it's in the Old Testament, talking to the children of Israel. He said everywhere your feet trod is going to be yours. I'm going to give it to you. And I went out, glory to God. I was reading that, and I praise God. I told my mama, everywhere I go belongs to me. And she said, oh, you're getting too weird with that. I said, black God, if God says I can have Cleveland, Cleveland will belong to me. If God says you can have Bluntsville, Bluntsville's yours. If God says you can have cattle on 1,000 hills, you'll have cattle on 1,000 hills. But you know what? If you're not staying close to the Lord and expecting victory, when he's trying to speak to you what he's going to do that's going to take you into a realm that you're not able to accomplish yourself, you won't follow it. You won't hear him. You won't follow him. But if you're expecting victory, God told me one time, he said, you can have it all. And it was at a time, Johnny, when the economy was bad and all that stuff, and I'm sitting on the back porch and I'm oppressed and I'm telling the Lord, I'm just ready to go on home. You've been good to me, Lord, and black God, Teresa and them would be better off without me, you know, because that's just the way I felt. Can't have no grandkids. Well, I got my quiver nearly full, two of them, black God. Sitting there, and the Lord tells me, he says, dream. And I said, I don't want to dream, Lord. I'm tired of dreaming. You've fulfilled all my dreams. You've given me everything I wanted in ministry, Lord. You've let me win thousands to Jesus. You've let me preach the gospel all over the world, Lord. You've been so good to me. You brought my family together. You brought my wife, and I've lived a good life with her. And you've given me a fine son and a, you know, and all of that, you know. And I was telling the Lord, I don't want to dream. Why, Matt? Why was I doing that? Because I'm looking in the natural, and everything in the natural tells me defeat. And I'm looking at it. And the Lord said, dream. You know all the Lord was saying? The title, expect victory. Son, he was really just saying, son, you're not expecting victory, and I can't give it to you. I can't bring it to you. I can't deliver these things. Your faith has been out there is why these things has been happening that I did 2,000 years ago when Jesus said it's finished on the cross. He said it's finished. What's finished? Your prosperity, your marriage, your life, your relations, your raises, your blessings. God told me one time, he said, why don't the Lord bless me like that? I said, what are you doing? I said, look, man, I said, we got to walk with the Lord. You got to walk with him. Just walk with the Lord. I said, you know, that's real simple. It's just walk. I said, get up. I said, just like me and you, what I'm doing to walk with the Lord, I said, I'm just going to church. I don't even know what I'm doing other than going to church. And he's blessing you like that. I said, yeah, my heart's after him. I said, that's what's walking with the Lord. Look, God is not some big religious God up there saying, listen, I've got 14 rules before you get a blessing. God's up there saying, hearken to my voice. Just listen to me. I went to church one time, still all messed up, and I hadn't been saved too long. Get up there, and this guy prophesied all these good things over me. And I'm thinking to myself, this dude's dumb. Man, my heart really ain't after the Lord like I need. And he's telling me all these good things are going to happen to me. All these good things. See, I didn't think I was worthy. But see, I didn't know the plan of God. I didn't know that God was getting my heart to follow him closer and closer so that he could really do what this guy was saying. So I left there and I thought, well, maybe he's right. Maybe he is hearing from the Lord. Like God. And you know what? It caused me to want to go after the Lord more. Just because I expected God was going to do what this man of God was. He didn't know me or nothing. See, expectation brings a manifestation of God. If you expect to get closer to God, you know, I mean, it's just like you hear Christians all the time, and they'll say, well, you know, I just don't know if God hears me or not. Well, I ain't even read the Bible, Mac, enough to know that the Bible says that his sheep, he hears. His sheep hears his voice. I hear God. When I'm close to the Lord and expecting the Lord, just praying and fasting, you know, and reading the Bible, meditating on nothing special, just normal Christian stuff. That's just normal Christian stuff. Just normal Christian stuff to get up and say, good morning, Lord. How about go before me at my job, Lord? I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to have favor today at work. I thank you, Lord, everybody's got COVID. I'm going to see that, but I'm not going to get it. Everywhere I go, Lord, COVID's out there and flu. And, you know, the flu season ain't as bad this year. Wonder why. They say it's because we're wearing masks, but now they don't want us to go have over five people at Thanksgiving. Well, come on, put me in jail. I'm going to my family's. Boy, y'all are quiet. The Bible says that the righteous are just worms. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Well, you know what lines I thought to myself? They're lazy. Have you ever watched wildlife? The lions don't go hunt the meat. They let the women go chase it down, stalk it down, find it out, run them down, and then they kill it, and then here comes bad boy in there. And everybody just backs off submit and let Big Papa eat. And I thought, we're supposed to be bold as a lion. We're not afraid. I mean, they got confidence. Man, them big old lions laying back there, they know they're going to get to eat, black God. Them women, y'all women, I just tell you, y'all just do major things for Jesus. But you know what? The Bible, you know, that's a very picture in the natural of how God takes care of us. We ain't got to sweat it. You ain't got to fear. I mean, he takes care of us. You know, they talks about over in Luke 4, I believe it is, or Luke 6, talks about two foundations. You know, the one digs down, lays the foundation, building a house on it, you know, and then one don't have a foundation at all. They, you know, that what that's telling me is, Scotty, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the one, he's the rock. And then after that, I take the word of God and build my house. Spiritual house, build myself up. You know, I'm on a solid foundation. Well, a lot of them quoting scripture and ain't got no relationship with Jesus, no foundation. The Bible says when the storms of life comes to those kind of folk, that it'll fall, and great will be the fall of it. But the Bible says that the storms raised and all that for those people has a foundation. They have a foundation and laid that foundation, dug deep, let God deal with our heart. We repent. We love our enemies. We forgive. There's a lot of y'all, I didn't want to forgive a lot. Y'all didn't know it, but I'm just telling you, I don't like some of your ways sometimes. Well, I ain't done nothing. You're the very one. You'll wake up to it one day and say, oh, Jesus. I got saved and I cried for 4 hours. I seen how I'd done Doris. I seen how I'd done Teresa. I thought I was a pretty good guy till I got saved. And then I seen how selfish I was. I seen how self-centered I was. And I cried for 4 hours. That's what I'm talking about. I had a revelation, praise God, that I'd hurt a lot of people that I couldn't see before I got born again. And I was just repenting, telling God, God, I'm sorry, God. And I mean, he was just cleansing me, praise God. You know what happened? I'd got on the solid rock. Now God was starting to build the foundation, praise God, of my life, hallelujah. Of your life, hallelujah. Well, I ain't never been that bad a person. You was a sinner. If you didn't steal a dime, you was born a sinner. You was born into sin. You need Jesus just like somebody that robs banks and kills people. We all need Jesus. We all need him. Rich people need Jesus. Poor people, medium people, everybody needs Jesus. You know, just like I heard about this dude, you know, might have been the Chevrolet place in Coleman, I can't remember. But anyhow, committed suicide, probably wealthy. Wealthy. See, money don't give you peace. Money don't make you happy. Houses don't do it. You can have peace and joy for the moment. But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of serving Jesus, the joy of having him in our life is our strength. Boy, I realize today I would be so miserable without Jesus. I put a lot of stuff on him. Every time I get under pressure, I go casting it over on him. Here, you take that. You take that. I'm not... You know, that's what he says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Cast it on him. He's able. I mean, just think what a kind of God that we serve. People all over the planet like us that knows how to cast stuff. We're giving them all our problems all the time. And he's sitting up there, fix that one. Yep, got it. Got you covered. I mean, he covers everybody on the planet. What a God. I mean, what a God. I mean, just imagine how many people, I don't know how many trillion people's on this planet that God can hear at all at one time. Hey, Dad. Hey, kids. I mean, he's awesome, man. Well, he's that kind of God in our life. The Bible says our life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. Well, if something's hid, what does that mean? Satan can't find it. He looks at Mac and says, well, Jesus. That's Jesus. He looks at Johnny, oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hey, I'm sitting one time I'm just a baby Christian, and I'm sitting there, and I decided it worked. You know, I carried me a little New Testament in my pocket, and I decided instead of sitting with them telling jokes and stuff and talking about people at lunch break, I decided that I was going to spend my lunch time, I was going to eat my sandwich right quick, and I'm going to pray a little, and I'm going to read the Bible. That was just something I set out to do as a young Christian. I'm going to read that Bible instead of sitting around talking, you know, and all that. And I'm sitting there, and I was reading in Timothy, and I looked up, and way across the 2 or 3 yards over there, there was a row of real nice hedge bushes. They had trimmed them and all that. And when my eyes hit those hedge bushes, he said, that's how far Satan is from you. Like that, and I looked, and I thought, wow, man. He said, you know, he's looking for an opportunity to get around you. And I thought, man, that sucker can't even come near me. That's awesome, man. I had a revelation, Mac, that Satan can't even come. He's scared of me. Oh, I wish he was scared of me. He is, you just don't act like it. He absolutely is scared of Christians. We have the blood of Jesus applied to our life. I mean, there's power in the blood. We still sing that song sometimes. There's power in the blood. That wonderful working power. Well, it's not just a song. That blood went down and hit the ground. And I mean, it rent that veil. It destroyed that veil. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Destroyed the powers of darkness for us. I apply the blood of Jesus a lot. I'll get up and I'll say, Lord, I just apply the blood of Jesus to my business, to my life, to my family, to my church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, the blood of Jesus flowing all around us. Hallelujah. I apply it to my life. Listen, we're supposed to walk in divine health. There's too many people on the planet sick. Quit looking at it. See, think about it. That's evidence. Satan wants to give you evidence to give you thoughts to cause you to believe you're going to have it. This is going to happen to you. You're going to be, I mean, you know what, praise God. I mean, I even had people tell me, well, you know, you might have to think about signing up for disability when you have that open heart surgery. Well, my daddy was on disability. My daddy couldn't go chop a block of wood without having to sit down and rest for 3 hours on a stump. Man, I've seen him sit down on a stump and me go to town, come back 2 hours later, and he didn't blink that. And I'm like, God, man, Dad, didn't you got something? No, I'm sitting here resting. 3 hours still on that stump, man. Giving me all this evidence. And I told Satan, I said, you're an idiot if you think I'm going to believe that. But God, I'm going to run miles if I want to. I'm going to run with my grandkids. I'm going to play. I can tote my grandkids on long valleys and up hills than I couldn't do before I had the surgery, bless God. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I'm not saying it by faith. I mean it. But it ain't just the surgery. See, Elijah was anointed by the Lord. He could outrun horses. I've never been able to outrun a horse. This sucker outrun chariots of horses. Elijah in the Bible, outrun them. I mean, horses can run 30, 35 miles an hour. I've tried it before barefooted, 25 as fast as I could get for about far from here halfway that pew when I'm 17, 18 years old. 25 miles, I could run 25 miles an hour. I know I got short legs, boy, they move. Shuffle, man. But Elijah, you know, and so I thought, well, bless God, if Elijah can be anointed by the Lord, he had the Lord on him, we got the Lord in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world, the Bible says. But we got to think that. We got to believe that and get that down in our heart. We can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. We can do all things through Christ. I told my brother, I said, Proverbs 18:14 says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. I said, you got to get your spirit strong. It'll keep you strong when you're attacked. Hallelujah. Where the attack don't destroy you. The attack don't take you down. Hallelujah. I can't just imagine like April with her boy. It's going to turn around, bless God, in the name of Jesus. I can't imagine that. You know what that would feel like and all that and that. But you know what? No weapon formed against her or you or anybody else will prosper if we don't let it. You know, give me that scripture up there, Psalms, I believe it's 27. This is Psalmist David. And you're looking at a man here that went through. I mean, they had to fight natural enemies, Mac, to go do what God said. I mean, there were natural armies that they had to fight with their bare hands, you know, to take ground. And here we are, ours are spiritual now. Now, we got some enemies yielding to the devil. But anyhow, this is, I can just imagine, you know, all that David was facing. This is what he said. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, when I saw that scripture, it hit me all of a sudden. I thought, I got to believe to see God's goodness, or I'm going to not see victory in my marriage. I'm not going to see victory in the garage doors. I'm not going to see victory in ministry. Because everything that we set out to do, there's always going to be challenges to get you not to believe the Lord. My marriage, look, I told God one time, I mean, man, you know, Teresa, this has been years and years ago. I love her now more than I ever have. I've always loved her, even before I got saved and committed adultery on her. I still loved her. I mean, I really did, you know. But I went to the Lord one time, and I said, Lord, I said, she's accusing me of touching women while I pray for her. Boy, y'all are quiet. She wouldn't go, man. I mean, I go evangelizing 7 years before I pastor started pastoring. I evangelized for seven. I went to different churches and streets and jails and, you know, and prisons. I've been to the prisons and preached and ministered. God's just opened a lot of doors. But I mean, we would get into it. I mean, if I'm late getting home after a meeting that I preach, because I pray for people. Good God Almighty, you ever seen 70 people in there and the whole church gets up and you're like, oh, Jesus. All these got to be prayed for. They're all the way around, man. You got to lay hands on all of them. It's going to take a while, Mac. These people are used to 11, 12 o'clock services at night. And I'm used to being on by 8:30. How many did you lay hands on when you get home? But it wasn't like, how many was healed? Boy, it wasn't an excitement. It was a knockdown drag out if you let it. So I go to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't think you've saved her yet. I think she's still the devil's daughter. But God, I'm trying to preach here. I'm trying to get people healed. All I'm saying is this right here. Then I had to come to realize, you know, I've got to believe to see the goodness of God through this. That this is going to change. This is trying to get me to stop preaching, to stop wanting to. I would get discouraged when somebody would call me because I knew that it was going to be glorious, then it was going to be awful. So don't let nobody convince you that people don't know your struggles. That was a struggle. But you know what? I don't have it now. But God, I'll say, I'm going to fight the rest. Okay, I'm not going. Get back. How was it? How was it? It's great now. But you know what? I had to believe to see the goodness of God. I had to believe that God would help me until she got better. And she had to believe the same way, that God would help her till I got better. Because, I mean, even now she has to have grace to live with me. See there? Amen, she said. Because I'm a headstrong guy. You know, I mean, I'm determined. I can't sit on the couch over a couple hours. I mean, it's awful. I mean, I feel like I've got to be doing something or I'm wasting time. I know it's awful, but it feels good to me. I like to be a go-getter. I like to go get it. Hallelujah. I come in the other day, I said, supper's about 10, 15 minutes from being done. And I said, I think I'll blow leaves. I'll go blow some leaves. Got a big backpack blower, you know. She said, whatever, get in the house. Whatever, get in the house. Made me come to the house 15 minutes before dark. Man, I still got 15 minutes. But you know what? That's not me, man. I used to be about the laziest dude on the planet. You had to call me at 11 o'clock and come beat me out of bed, man. Now 6 o'clock. Oh, gotta go. Get up, man. Gotta talk to the Lord now. Now I'm having to listen to a 30-minute sermon before I go to church. The word, praise God. Why? Because, listen, Satan wants to beef it up. Us as a church, we just beef it up. We just beef it up a little bit more. We just put a little more pressure on him. The Bible says, submit ourselves therefore to God. Let's pray and fast and seek the Lord and talk to the Lord. Meditate on, that's submitting to the Lord. He said, and resist the devil, and he'll just sit down beside you. Now, you know what it says, is he had to get out of here. He had to flee. Hallelujah. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist that devil, and he has to flee. Squirrels love my place. My neighbor squirrels comes over and gets my harvest. Mac, I think they're sitting over here. Is it spring yet? Man, we fertilize stuff and pray over it and ask God to anoint my garden, anoint my maters, you know, anoint everything, Lord. Let your anointing be on everything. The Bible says he'll bless everything we touch. Everything we do with our hands will turn into a blessing. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18, it is he, God, that gives us power to obtain wealth that he may establish his covenant with us. He wants to make sure that covenant works for us. Well, the covenant's not based on how good we are and all that. The covenant is based on following him and letting him reign his goodness in our life and cause us to walk in the righteousness of God. But you know, the enemy, I mean, it's like the Lord was just really ministering to me today. He said, it's not just COVID that's ramping up. He said, satanic forces. He said, darkness, satanic forces. He said, and the more that my people yield to them, the less strength they'll have to go and do the things of God. The less strength they will have to believe to see the goodness of God. He said, you can't be conformed to the world. He said, you can't talk about it the way they talk about it. You can't give it a voice. I'm flipping through, and I had a sermon back in March, and the Lord had spoke to me, and I brought it in that sermon. You know, it was just then coming out about COVID, whatever it was then. I don't remember. But anyhow, coronavirus. It was called coronavirus when it first came out. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't give it no voice. In other words, what God was saying to me, don't give it the time of day. Me, he's talking to me. And I brought this church. Don't give it no voice. Well, a little later on, the media, and it's still being voiced. And a lot of it, the enemy's tried to use to his advantage, even in what we voted for. I voted for God. I voted for righteousness to the White House. I voted, and I believe that my vote is going to come through. I'm not listening to CNN, ABC, NBC, but God, I'm turning preachers on. I'm turning on prophets that's prophesied, hallelujah, that the Lord will reign, hallelujah. And I'm not going to think anything else. I'm not going to entertain anything else. It ain't over till God says it's over, black God. And I take that in my own life. I'm looking at defeat in my business. It ain't over till the Lord says it over. Pray God, and I can't find any Bible where it says there'll come a time when it'll just be over for you. The Bible says that long satisfied. I told my brother, maybe he's 70, I don't know. Too young to be, can't even open a gallon of milk or something. Can't even hold a gallon of milk. What does it weigh, 7, 8 pounds? 5. I told him, I said, listen to me. I said, the Bible don't say in there that weak life, long weak life. I said, what's your face? I said, the Bible says long satisfied life. Well, I show you and show you my salvation. I said, now you're going to have to believe that. You're going to have to believe that. You're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to do what you think you can't do and go in the name of Jesus. Look, when I come out of that surgery, black God, I refuse to sit down. I mean, my leg, all kinds of things, my body. I mean, I'm used to going 17, 18 hours a day, and I walk to my shop, and I need to go back home and take a nap. My shop ain't about far from here to the cars out there. I walked up there one day, and I thought, whew, I don't know if I'd make it back to the house. I thought, this is awful, Lord. And then, I just got to go back home, man. I got to get some rest. And I'm going to go back home, sit there, snore 30 minutes. And you know what I made up my mind? I thought, bless God, I might not be able to go far right now, but bless God, I'm going back to that shop. And I'd go back to that shop and back to the house, back to the, all the way. And then I made it to the fruit trees and back. And then you know what, praise God for? You know what? I told Teresa, I said, I'm going up the shop and peddle today. I'm going to, I don't lift nothing. I said, okay. So I go up there and I thought, bless God, I mean, about an hour. I'm thinking, I thought, I'm not going home. Shut up. You might as well shut up. We're staying up here at the shop. I like it up here. All I'm doing is raking. I'm breaking wrenches. Bing. Bing. Black God, I got to where I can step out of lunch, Mac. I thought, yeah, I made it to lunch. Praise God, hallelujah. It was 8 o'clock. Now it's lunch. Now I'm going to take a nap. So I'll go take a nap. Get up. And before you know it, I thought, black God, I'm going to push it. Black God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I go in your name. I go in your power, God. I'm going in the power of the name of Jesus. And you know what? I can push it now. I work 15, 16 hours if I want to. See, I was expecting victory. I was believing to see. I'd give up. I'd be in a wheelchair. I wouldn't be worth nothing. I'm telling you right now, the way my body was, if I'd have let it and sat down and let it be there, I would not be physically where I am today. I know. But I had to believe God for the strength. And you got to believe God for strength. It might not be physical to you. It might be spiritual. It might be financial. It might be where you live. But don't look at everything and just say this is the way it is. While we look not at the things that are seen, the Bible says. But we look at the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. The Word of God's eternal. Did you know you're eternal? No, I'm going to die. No, you're not. You're never going to die. Paul said to die is gain. Now, I ain't looking forward to getting out here, but I told myself, like I told the devil when he's telling me all that. I said, shut up, idiot. I said, listen, buddy, I'm not scared to die. I said, for me to leave this planet, I'm just going to start living. I ain't even living now. The Bible says for me to die is gain. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling the devil that, trying to work on me, you know, during all of that stuff, praise God. He even tells me every now and then, yeah, you're going to die with cancer like your older brother. I tell him, you liar, I'm not scared of cancer either. I resist it. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I ain't dying with nothing, but I'm going to give up the ghost. I'm going to give up the ghost. Satan's like, I wish that church down there would shut up about Jesus and the Word. No, we ain't, idiot. You think we're idiots? Well, you're just like the rest of them. Think 72 million people stupid. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm in there. I ain't dumb. I'm very wise in the Bible. The Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. The Bible says we'll be blessed going. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, all the way up to the White House, the people rejoice. But when darkness is ruling, the people mourn. Well, anybody for abortion? Darkness. Anybody control me and tell me my rights, my constitutional, biblical rights and constitutional rights, that's darkness. That's darkness. And when darkness rules, the people mourn. That's why we get involved and we vote Jesus. I didn't vote for a man. And you know, I don't rally now. I rally for Jesus all the time. I don't do it for just because, you know, it's a good religious thing to do. Everybody I see needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. They can get their life straightened out. They can get their finances. They can get their marriage. They can live a good life and come to the end of their life and say, I've lived a good life. God has been good to me. God caused me to have a good marriage. God caused me to have, because I serve the Lord. My son and my daughter serve the Lord. And even if they don't right now, the Bible says if you will serve the Lord, he will save your whole house. That's a promise that you hang on to, and you tell the Lord when it looks like they ain't gonna never come around and all of that stuff, you say, nope, I'm serving the Lord, and you said you would save my whole house. I'm believing God that not one of my family members, period, that is kin to me is not going to get born again. And they all look like they're going to hell right now. It looks pretty damn. That's why I don't look at it every day. I said, nope. If he can touch me and reach me, he can sure get them. Well, bless God, we lifted up them prayer requests. Praise God tonight. Hallelujah. And we rebuked that junk off of them in the name of Jesus. We declared we believe to see God's goodness in Nemo, in G. Hallelujah. People across the street coming. And attacked with, man, they ain't got COVID all year till they started the church. They was fine. Roll around Lucky's and everywhere else and don't get it till you start going after God. And then here comes the enemy. Boom. And then I have to say, well, y'all better stay at home. Boy, that about got me, Mac. That's the hardest thing I did. That was hard. I said, well, y'all just stay at home. Stay at home. And I told him, I said, we rebuke it off of you in the name of Jesus. I said, it will not bear fruit on you in the name of Jesus. I said, we're covering you as a church in the name of Jesus. That was hard. Tell somebody don't come to church. But I've been trying to get people to church for 26 years. God, man. Tell them don't come. I wanted to say, come on. It'll die. And I thought, well, I better hear from the Lord on that. I mean, the Bible says, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You hear from the Lord. If the Lord says, everybody got COVID, come in here, ain't nobody going to get it in here, they can just spit on our hand, rub it all over our face. We won't get it. God's word is true. Whatever God saith, let me give you a little example. Here they are in the boat, Peter, disciples. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. You know, we can walk on the water if God said walk on the water. If God says, Mac, go walk on Gunnersville Lake. If Mac didn't say, nah, ain't nobody walking on the water. If Mac says, where's the keys, baby? Boom, go to Gunnersville. We could all follow up there. He'd be walking across there. I'd be, get us a catfish, man. Ain't none of us done that yet. That's what would happen if God said it. I mean, I'm giving you a true scenario. He walks out there and he tells Peter, he said, come. Peter gets up. Peter walks on that water. He walks on the water. I read that, but God, I'm reading that story back under. I thought, man. And all of a sudden, God said, my word don't lie. He said, my word upholds you. My word will do what I send it out to do. Ain't that what it says? His word will not return void, but it'll go and do what he sends it out to do. If he was to tell you to walk on the water, but God, you can go and just have yourself a happy time in 98-degree weather walking on an unfroze pond. And you know what? Peter walked on the water. Then all of a sudden, Peter begins to look at the waves and all that stuff and begins to sing. Seeing the Lord spoke to me then, and he said, see, as long as you keep your eyes on me and follow what I'm telling you in your heart by my spirit, he said, the impossible is possible. He said, the impossible is possible. And so me and you, we've got to expect. You can't afford not to expect the Lord to move for you. Expect the Lord to strengthen your body. I mean, Shannon, at one time, I thought, oh, God, the dude's probably got cancer. I don't know, man. I mean, he falls out in the bathroom in there. I wanted to go in there and get him by the hair, but he ain't got much. Drag him in here, man. Sit down there, man. Glory to God, don't get back up. Glory to God, you're going to be. I wanted to do it. I heard he was in there, and I thought, well, bless God, the anointing's back there, too, bless God. You know, I thought, oh, Jesus, going to have biopsies and all that stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, glory to God, there ain't nobody coming to my church going to die. But God, I just don't like doing funerals. I mean, honestly, y'all going to have to do them if there's any done. I'd rather keep you alive. That way I don't have to do no funerals, right? Just keep you strong, vibrant, pray God healed, and then I ain't got to go bury nobody. I don't like them. I don't like funerals, praise God. I want to raise everybody from the dead. I mean, I've stood there thinking, is this in the one, Lord, you're going to let me do it? You're going to let me do it, Lord? Oh, Jesus, I'd like to raise them out of there, man. If God said it, I'd drag them out of that coffin, fall over on the ground with them. Get up, get up. Jesus done it. Jesus walked up there and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Good thing you said Lazarus. Everybody in that tomb would have come piling out there. If he'd have just walked up there and said, everybody come forth. Everybody in there where Lazarus was buried. And he wasn't the only one in there. They'd have come out of that tomb, bless God. But he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes back alive, praise God. Well, you know what? There's been men I've laid my hands on a lady in a coma. God, I fasted, went on a fast 3 days. And they was members of this church. Done went into a coma. They done called all the family members in from the states all around. You know, Teresa told me, she said, well, you need to go. You're their pastor. And I said, I'm waiting. It does look bad when you're waiting. Looks like you don't care about them, pastor. It put a lot of pressure on you if you ain't careful. But you got to determine you're not a people pleaser. You're a God pleaser. You're a God follower. Whether it's in your family or you're preaching or what, it don't make no difference about that. Where we please God. We listen to God. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow His voice. We ain't going based on fear. And everybody going to be mad. The Lord said, go down there, I'm going to raise a roof. I thought, glory, I got excited. So I go off down there, Mac. But God, I pull up the hospital, go around there, and they all in there. They done planned the funeral. They done planned it all. They done been in there in her presence talking about it. She's hearing them, but she can't talk. She hears what they're saying. I didn't know it till later. Well, I go in there and I walk up to her husband. I said, hey, I said, Bill Kafer, go pray for your wife. He's going, Lord's going to raise her up like that. Somebody got me by the shirt, pulled me. I dare you. I said, what? Giving him false hope. What kind of preacher are you? Because he told him, yeah, this is my pastor. Everybody looking at me, you know, this is my pastor. Well, I was in a bunch of non-believing Christians. I found them in the Bible where they put them, Jesus put them out. He put them out. And so, I dare you, giving him false hope. One of the daughters, you're giving daddy false hope. I didn't pay him no attention. I looked at him and I said, can you go pray for your wife? I said, I'm about to get mad, Mac. He said, by all means, brother. By all means. I said, adios. I just walked in there and I see you, black God, and there she is on ventilators and all kind of garbage, you know, and praise God. And I just walked up to the foot of the bed and I grabbed her by the toe. And I said, now, you foul spirit, I command you, the spirit of death, I command you to loose her in the name of Jesus. I command you to rise in Jesus. I just started praying what God had put on my heart and everything, praise God. I said, in Jesus' name, like that. And I opened my eyes, and she's looking at me, and tears is running down her face. She come back and lived in this house across the road. Come back to church here. See, there ain't nothing impossible when God's speaking to you. I'm not telling you that. It's just a story. See, God will give you a word for your marriage. God will give you a word for your finances. God will give you vision for your business. People tell me there ain't no money in cows. But God, I'm popping them. I'm done popping cows early here. I can see my herd paid for pretty quick. I ain't had them but 4 months. I got 4 calves already, man. Rest of them looking pretty fat. See, I'm not going based on what the world says and people experience. I'm going on the anointing on my cows and the anointing and all that good stuff and favor and God giving me favor, causing things to happen all the time, expecting the increase of God. I'm not listening to all them and ain't making no money. I don't know about all that. I mean, hey. So listen, expect victory. When you hear bad news, COVID or whatever, you just say no weapon formed against me will prosper. Keep that faith up. Keep that expectation up. Whenever, I mean, you know, people's already depressed. You know, over there, oh, if that Biden gets in, the taxes is going to go up, and good God, we're going to go into socialism. Listen, and I say, listen, don't imagine that. Don't entertain that. Even if another man gets in, Jesus is still king. God is still on the cattle on a thousand hills. The gold and silver still his. He can speak to somebody to bring me $1 million, and then I don't care if taxes goes up. Right? Let them go up. I remember, and I'll close with this. Economy fell back under. Fuel went to $5 a gallon back. That's what I do, drive. That's my job. I hit the road every day. I mean, I remember more than once getting that and putting $5 in there, praise God. $5 a gallon, man. I mean, put $20 in there, and I get 4 gallons. I'm like, oh, I hope I can make it to this service and back, and I'm not charging it $65 service charge. It cost me $20 to get there and nearly $20 back. $40. Then I'm making $15. But you know what? I would get that, and I would say, thank you, Lord, that I've got $20. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'll have 15 when I leave, Lord. At least I'll have 15 more than I had, bless God. You know what I was doing? I was going against that natural thing that was trying to discourage me from pressing on. And thank God today, I don't care if it goes to $20 a gallon. I can fill her up. See, keep your expectation up. If you own a house, pay it off early. I can't save a dime. Don't ever think that again. Shut that up. Put 50 cents in the drawer. 50 cents. I'm starting little. Don't be weary in small beginnings. Don't get weary in the little things that don't seem going to make no difference. When God's anointing on, little is a lot. Hallelujah. So expect the Lord to bring you up from where you're at. Bring you out. No matter how long it takes, hallelujah. Don't settle for sickness and disease and poverty, no oppression and fear. Don't settle for it. Get that scripture, praise God, and have an expectation. Expect victory, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father.